Okay, so we're going to dig in. We're back in our series entitled 4D. It stands for four dimensions, four-dimensional discipleship. It's the idea that God is higher than us. That was week one, and he invites us all the time to join him in that which is higher. And last week, we looked at the first dimension of higherness that Jesus invites us into. We looked at the gospel. The parable of the prodigal son, we looked at the gospel. This week, we're moving into the second dimension that Jesus invites us into. And if all this series stuff doesn't make sense, it will make sense in a couple weeks. We're just laying the groundwork. Last week was the gospel. This week, the next higher dimension that Jesus invites us into is called the kingdom. The kingdom. So join me. We're going to be back in the parable of the prodigal son. And we're going to finish it out as we look at the kingdom in Luke chapter 15 and then starting in verse 25. Okay, so here's where we pick it up. Now, this is the father in the story. The father's older son, remember the younger son was the rebel who had been in a faraway land. He came back. The party is happening right now. That's where we were last week. Now, verse 25. Now the father's older son was out in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Anytime you hear that, that means something good's going on. Verse 26. And he, the older son, called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said to him, "Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." Okay, so last week was the gospel. The gospel here now quickly turns into a party. The gospel morphs and moves into becoming a full-fledged party. Last week, the rebel son returns from a faraway land. And as he came back, remember, this is the gospel. This is the good news. The son that returned from his rebellious ways enters into his father's house and he receives mercy. Mercy is not getting what he deserves. He deserves a beating and a casting out. That's not what he got. He didn't get the bad that he deserved. Instead, he received grace. Grace is receiving the good that you do not deserve. And now, with the gospel firmly setting in, the son has been restored to the family, the gospel morphs into a party. And so now what we have is we have a whole bunch of food roasting on the spit. 300 to 500 pounds of a calf is roasting and it smells good, right? The smoke is wafting. Any barbecue fans in the house? Like the barbecue is on and it is happening right now. So there's tons of food, like almost maybe half a ton, whatever. There's a lot of food roasting right now on the spit. In addition to the food, right, in the context here in the story, we've got a crowd of people. Because if you're having a few friends over, you throw a couple burgers on the grill. When the whole village is coming, then you do the whole cow, right? So crowds of people. We know here that there's music and there is dancing. This is a cool scene. The father is there, and the father is the coolest guy around. He's the guy that everybody wants to hang out with. He's just like a magnificent human being. The father is at the party. And the father represents God the Father here, right? The father is there. It is a festive scene. So the idea now is that the father, God, is throwing a party. Now, what I just want to linger here for a second, because the father throwing a party, for some of us that sounds odd, like God throwing a party. That's outside of what I would normally think God would be doing. God, the God that I know, doesn't throw parties. He's not into this kind of thing. But I just want to point out here that God throwing a party, the Father's party, in the scriptural context is not an isolated incident. This isn't a one-time thing that the Father just kind of like went a little too far and decided to throw a party, but he's going to come back to his calm and normal self and not throw parties anymore. No, this is not an isolated incident. Throwing parties is what God does. Because it's who he is. Okay, I just want to say that one more time, because if we don't understand this, we're not going to understand where we're going to go later. Throwing parties is what God does, because God is a party. And whatever we are always comes out. But I said throwing parties for God is not an isolated incident. Let's just go back to the beginning, because the beginning of the story sometimes is reflective of how the story is going to move on from there. Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, what we have is we have God the Father in the garden, the coolest one around. He's hanging out in the garden. And if you're in the vicinity, like, you want to be with him because he is awesome. So we got the Father in the garden in Genesis chapter 2, right? And also in Genesis chapter 2, we've got food. Not a 350-pound calf on a spit roasting and smoking over the fire. We weren't eating those things in Genesis chapter 2, but there is food nonetheless all around. Every tree is dripping and branches near breaking, laden with food of all kinds, and it's all good. There's no need for refrigeration. There's no need for a party tray or a table where the food is, because it's all around. So we got the Father in the garden. We've got food everywhere. And what else do we have? We've got music. We've got music wafting all around the gardens. And it's because birds and other creatures are there singing their tune, and it's all kind of working together, and the music is fantastic. We've got this incredible scenery. And then God the Father, who's throwing the party, has Adam there as the guest of honor. And there's all manner of creatures that are there, and it's just a vibrant scene, very similar to the story of the prodigal's return and the party that breaks out. God's always doing the party thing. And then God is the great party host. At one point in the party, walks up beside Adam and says, Adam, hey brother, just come with me for a second. There's somebody here at the party that I want to introduce you to that you haven't met yet. And then he walks Adam over and he says, hey Adam, I'd like to introduce you to Eve. Eve, this is Adam. And then Adam's jaw drops, and then the first words out of Adam's mouth are, I, Adam, take you, Eve, to be my lawfully wedded wife, right? What? This is a party. God is a host. It is so good. It's fantastic on every level. And this is in Genesis chapter 2, right? God has been doing parties from the beginning. He does parties all the way through because he is a party. And everywhere he goes, these things kind of break out from him. So here's the idea. When God is in charge, a party of some kind is going to break out. And the scriptures call this party the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the place where God is in charge and people are submitting to him, it's always a party. It's always trending in a phenomenal direction. Okay, the kingdom. Jesus instructs us, when the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray. One of the lines in that prayer that we're invited to pray is this. It's us praying, and we are praying, and we say, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what we're invited to do in prayer is to invite Jesus to establish his rule and his reign here now. That we would say, Jesus, you are the great king. Everything you do is good. Parties break out where you're in charge and people are submitting. Bring that here. Bring it now. Bring it in my marriage. Bring it in my family. Bring it in my workplace. Bring it in my small group. Bring it in whatever, badminton, whatever you're into. Like, we want to see the reign and rule of Jesus flowing everywhere. Why? Because parties and good things break out when his kingdom comes. There's a story, this is kind of silly, but I just want to paint a picture of the kingdom of God breaking out and the party that manifests as a result. Because I think sometimes we have a singular picture for what a party is, and it's kind of like what's going on here in the story of the prodigal son, where the festivities are happening and there's food and there's music and dancing. That is one version of a party, but a party can look like a lot of different things in a lot of different circumstances. Here's an example of the kingdom of God breaking out, the party happening, but it looks a little different than we think of in terms of normal parties. All right, I was a young man, probably in my early 20s, and I was living with a bunch of other Christian guys in a discipleship house. And don't feel too bad for me at this point in the story, but I experienced a breakup with a young lady. You can feel sorry for me. It's okay. I was just teasing. I want some empathy right now. I was feeling sad because breakups are not cool. They're not fun, okay? And she wasn't the right one, but it still hurts, doesn't it? Yes, all the married people say, yeah, it still hurts. So I was feeling down because I was working through this breakup thing. It was a Saturday morning, I think, woke up, and the other guys in the house, like, they kind of knew what was going on. And I wasn't like a super like emotional weird guy around breakups. I wasn't like the Debbie Downer guy. But the guys in the house knew that I just experienced this breakup. And so one of the guys in the house, like knowing what was going on, said, hey, Brian, this is what I think we all should do this morning. We all need to go to this donut place and just hang out. I'm like, okay, let's do that. Let's go. And so like me and eight other guys go to this donut place. And a party broke out. Now, when I say a party broke out in the donut shop, here's what I don't mean. I do not mean that we were breakdancing on tables, squirting jelly from the donuts all around the place with ties tied around our head, being crazy. Like not that kind of party in the donut shop. But a party nonetheless. And the party was more so kind of like this. It was more subdued. There definitely was food. There were a lot of donuts. There was some milk, right? Good food. But there was a deep, abiding togetherness in that space. It was me and the guys, and the Father was there with us. And we were just like there, being, eating, just enjoying each other in a subdued kind of like way. And it was so good. There was like this deep comfort that broke out in that place. I was sad. I was feeling alone. I was feeling like hurt. All the things you feel in the breakup. The circumstances were, and they continued to be what they were. We stayed broken up. But in that moment, in the coffee shop, in that time, the kingdom of Jesus broke in. King Jesus ruled and reigned with us in that space, and it was good. Circumstances still, but my experience of the circumstances in the donut shop with those guys, with the Father, with the donuts and the milk, like there was something rich about that experience in the midst of the circumstances that were still not great. But the kingdom of God broke out. Now, I very easily could have been by myself that morning, just sad and just down and just whatever, right? But the kingdom of Jesus broke in and it changed my experience of the circumstance of breaking up. But the idea is, wherever King Jesus is, and there are people that are submitted to him, the kingdom breaks out in unique ways that fit into that situation. And that's what King Jesus loves and longs to do. So much so that he says, pray, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in my life, all over the place, as it is in heaven. Because there's a party in heaven, and Jesus always wants to bring that to bear here in us and among us. Verse 28, right? So the party's going on. Now we're talking about the older son. Remember, the younger son is in. He does have his tie tied around his head. He is on the tables breakdancing and eating and hanging out. That party is happening, but the older brother is outside, coming in from the fields, learns the party is happening, and then we have verse 28. He hears the party's going on, verse 28. Contrast, party out there, but he, the older brother, was angry and refused to go in. The older brother is refusing to enter the good party with all the food and all the music and all the dancing and all the good things that are going on, the older brother says regarding that, he says, no, thank you. He wasn't that polite. He was angry. Refusal to enter the good. That sounds silly, doesn't it? It sounds silly until you consider for a moment that doesn't this tend to be our experience regularly? That there are good things going on that the Father is inviting us into and we say, no, no, no. Right? I'm a human being. I've been one for a long time. I have 5 kids that I am partly responsible for raising with my wife. She's the other partly responsible party, and we're raising them. So I know myself, I know my 5 kids, and what I get to see often is this, that sometimes as humans, our heart gets hard, something goes wrong in here, we get cranky, we get angry, we get bitter, we get whatever the thing is. Our hearts go in a negative direction, and then when we're invited into something that is good, our hearts can't go there. So we say, no, not for me, right? And somehow, like, we feel good about it, like empowered, like, ah, I'm not doing that. I'm going to stay here alone and sad and angry. When our hearts are not in a good place, we can't go in to the good that the Father is inviting us into. But he refused to go in. He's angry. And second half of verse 28 is this. But his father came out from the party. His father came out and entreated him. I love the word entreated. It's like pleading, longing, like, come on, son, the party is awesome. The music's good. The calf is just, we're just about ready to slice into the calf. There's other food in there. The music, just come. Your brother is here. He's returned. Come join in the good and glorious festivities that are happening. Right? So let's break this down. So the father invites the older son to the party. In that sense, the word party is a noun. Come to the what? Come to the party. Then the father's like, but don't just come to the party, come party. It's not a noun, that's a verb. Older son, come to the party, noun. And party with us, verb. Let's go to the thing and let's do the thing. Because the father throws parties and he is a party and he's just inviting the older son to join. He's saying, please come. I want you to join me in the good. I'm ruling and reigning. I want you to experience it. I want you to be a part of it. And then in verse 29, but, there it is again, but, darn it. Why are we so difficult? But the older son, but he answered his father, and he says, look. Okay, just stop there. Anytime somebody answers you and says, look, okay, it's not going to a good place, right? It's just, it's not. Older son says no again. Just want to lay this down so we're all on the same page. God is a party. He throws parties. They're always good. He's always inviting us in. And the problem so often is not that God isn't throwing good parties, it's that we are not able to join him in the parties. We often, so often, we, that's all of us, me included, we say, no. And we always have reasons. And here's where the older son is going to say no, and then he says to the father, look. And now here's all the reasons why the older son is not coming to that party. Older son says, these many years I have served you. Right? You can hear the tonality of his voice. I've served you these many years, and never have I disobeyed even one of your fatherly commands. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours comes home, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, other bad things, You, Father, you killed the fattened calf for him. You get a sense for what the older brother's heart is filled with. It's a whole bunch of stuff there. And all the stuff in his heart is keeping him from going to the good place. Now contrast the older brother's heart, right? Contrast his heart just for a second with the father's heart. We know the father's heart is filled with, right? And you'll recognize this, right? From the New Testament here, fruit of the Spirit. If it's the fruit of the Spirit, then you know it's the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is love. It is joy. It is peace. It is patience. It is kindness. It is all of these things. The Father's heart is all of these things all the time. And so out of the Father's heart, the party erupts, the welcoming back of the Son, the festivities. He is a festive Father, and so the party is just a result of his heart. The older son has got a different heart thing going on. It's a cranky, it's angry, it's vindictive, it's I've done all the right things, and I haven't gotten what I think I deserve. It's got all that stuff going on, and so he can't go in. There's a massive contrast between the heart of the older brother and the heart of the father. And it's the differences in their hearts that keep the older brother from. And this is an absolute pattern in the scriptures. And it's a pattern in the scriptures because it's a pattern in life. Think about it. You guys remember the story of Jonah, Old Testament prophet? Just for a second, let's contrast the heart of Jonah with the heart of God. God's heart, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, all these things. Father's heart. Here's what the Father wants to see happen in Nineveh. The Ninevites were historically the enemies of God's people, right? We understand that. It's like the center of Babylon. Assyria. Anyway, I'm getting my history wrong. Nineveh, it's the historical enemies of God's people, at least in that time period. And God's heart for Nineveh is to see a party break out. They're rebellious, they're wicked, like they're trending in a negative direction. There ain't no party of any value going on in Nineveh. There's lots of bad parties going on, but not the right kinds of parties. And so what the Father wants to see happen is he wants to see his kingdom break in. He wants to see his rule and his reign manifest among those people so that a real good and true party can break out in Nineveh. That's God's heart. He wants the party to break in. So he says, Jonah, go. You be just as God the Father was the party facilitator in Genesis 2. Now Father says, Jonah, you go. Tell them the truth. Speak words of life over them so the party can break out. That's your role. And then all through the book of Jonah, Jonah is saying, no. No, I don't want to be any part of that. I don't want to see that party break out in Nineveh. And then finally, in the end, reluctantly, we know he goes because he has to. God's like, you're going. He finally goes. The Ninevites repent. Good parties start breaking out. The Father starts meandering and mingling with the people. The kingdom of God is breaking out in Nineveh. And then Jonah is sitting on a hillside or a cliff overlooking the city. And he's as cranky can be. He's not down there with his tie tied around his head, breakdancing on the tables with jelly donuts all over the place, high-fiving the Ninevites. He's like, no, I don't want to be a part of that. I'm not going in to that party. And he's angry and he's cranky and he's just bitter. He can't go in to the good thing that the Father is doing because his heart can't mesh with the Father's heart in that place. Think about James and John. Let's contrast their hearts with the heart of Jesus, right? Regarding a Samaritan village, what Jesus wants to see happen is he wants to see the rule and reign of the Father break out in that Samaritan village. And so Jesus does things that are conducive with seeing the rule and the reign of God break out. He's hanging out with Samaritan women. He's entering into the village. He's doing all the things. He's loving on the people. God is a party. Everywhere he goes, a party breaks out, right? And so a revival literally breaks out in the Samaritan village. But now contrast the heart of James and John. James and John, their hearts are in a very different space regarding Samaritan villages in the Gospels. There's this one point that just is funny. We've talked about this, where James and John ask Jesus if they can have permission to approach the Father and ask the Father to send fire down on Samaritan villages. Jesus wants to go there and see parties break out, revival, people restored to the rule and reign of God and all the good that comes from that. That's what Jesus wants to see happen in Samaritan villages. And the disciples, at least James and John, are vocal enough to let us see their hearts. They say, no, let's kill them. I don't want parties breaking out there. Let's see them destroyed. That's a better plan. How about this, right? Contrast Jesus with the disciples in this one circumstance. You remember, when Jesus is in the boat with the disciples at night and the storm is raging on the Sea of Galilee, do you know what Jesus is doing? Do you remember? Jesus is having a slumber party. He's sleeping. He's hanging out. Why? Why is Jesus able to slumber party in the midst of the storm on the Sea of Galilee? Because his heart is filled with peace. It's who he is. And so if your heart is filled with peace, peace comes out in all manner of circumstances, even a storm in the waters, and Jesus sleeps through that. The disciples, on the other hand, they're not able to enter into the slumber party with Jesus because their hearts are not at peace. They're in sheer terror and fear, and so they're freaking out. The absolute contrast to the slumber party that Jesus is subtly inviting them to join him in. God is always seeking to break into this fallen world, to do good, to restore, to heal, to bring the party that is the kingdom of God. But it is our hearts that so often keep us from God's heart and entering into what he is doing. And put it like this. So you guys know I've kind of been running in the last season of my life. And at some point in like late June, I injured my hamstring. Could I get some empathy real quick from you? Like I felt like zero empathy from anyone in the room. Like I'm injured. Nobody cares. Okay. So I injure my hamstring. Here's what I know. This is from my experience. An injured, if anybody has a gift of healing, see me after the service and would just pray for me, okay? I'm serious about that. So, an injured hamstring, in my experience, keeps me from the good physical things that I want to do. I want to run miles. I'm having a hard time doing a half right now. Driving in the car is painful after I run. It just hurts, right? So an injured hamstring is keeping me from the good physical activity that I long and want to do. In the same way, an injured heart is the thing that keeps us from entering in to the good and joyful kingdom of God breaking out all around us and from participating in it. So, knowing that to be true, now what is the Father going to do with the broken-hearted older son? Well, he's going to seek to heal some hearts here. Verse 31. And the Father said to the older son, Son, he looks right at his heart, and the Father knows what he needs to say is like a healing balm to go on the heart of his older son. He says, Son, you were always with me. I know I was hanging out with your younger brother here at the party, and it looks like I wasn't with you, like I was with him, like I'm choosing him over you. Like, no, son, I've always been with you. You've always been my guy. I have never stopped loving you. I still love you. You're always with me, and that makes me so happy. So, son, you were always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Like the son's cranky that his father hasn't like gifted him with a goat. Anybody ever eaten goat before? It's not as good as cow, right? But the older son's like, you haven't even given me like a little scrawny goat to roast with my little group of friends. Then the father's like, no, son, I didn't understand. You didn't know.
All of this has always been yours. You've been like missing out on that. Like the fattened calf that we're eating right now, that was yours. At any time, kill any of the fattened calves. Throw a party. This whole thing here, life with me on the Ponderosa here, it is a party. I've been with you. It's all yours, right? And the Father just tries to speak healing over the heart of his son. Why is the Father speaking healing over his heart, over the broken heart of his son? Because he wants to see healing happen in his son's heart so that he can enter into the rule and reign of the Father, the kingdom breaking in, the party that is happening with music and dancing, and the whole village is there. Come on, son, receive my healing. Let's go. Let's do it. And then verse 32. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. This party is the right thing to do right now. For your brother was dead, off doing the wrong kind of party things. He was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he is found. The Father is calling, entreating his son to join. Enter my joy. Come in. Join me in the good. Band, come on back up. Let's put a couple pieces together. The gospel opens the door for the kingdom 10 times out of 10. The gospel opens the door for the rule and the reign of God to break in among us. The Father is calling us to receive the good news of Jesus, the mercy and grace that he bestows upon us, and the death and resurrection of Jesus that is cloaked upon us as a gift and a covering. He is calling us to receive the good news and to join him in the embodiment of the good news, which is the kingdom of God. It's the party that breaks out everywhere people are submitted to his rule and his reign. And in order to receive his rule and reign in our hearts, in our relationships, in our lives, we have to. We must. It is not an option. We have to let him heal our hearts, because an unhealed heart will never enter in to the joyful kingdom. And so our call is to join in. And I want to pray for us. And for those of us who have followed Jesus for a long time, this is the picture that kind of came to me this week. It's like we're not the ones who are outside the kingdom refusing to go in. It's kind of like we're in the party, we're in the rule and the reign of God, and every now and then we like leave it to go do like a smoke break. Whatever your version of the smoke is, like we like leave the party and we're like doing our thing, whatever that is. We like we've stepped out of the joyful place, out of the party, out of the King, not that we ever step out of the kingdom, but like we distance ourselves from the rule and the reign of God, just doing our thing. And then when we step back in, it's like, oh, what's going on here? What'd I miss? Right? Because we always miss something and we're missing out, and it comes back in and we got to like figure out like, oh, what dance is going on now? Because when I left, it was the Macarena and now it's like the slide. I don't know. It takes you a while to readjust, right? But the idea is like in the rule and the reign of God, the kingdom of God, man, like the invitation is like, let's just stay there. Let's just stay, because that's where the good stuff is. Jesus came to die and lay his life down, the good news of the gospel, so that we could step into the good news of the kingdom and not walk out, but just abide in that space, so we don't miss out on anything at the party. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Father inviting us up higher. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray and ask for myself and for all of Garden City.
Father, that you would heal our hearts from refusal to enter the party. Heal our hearts from the things that cause us to check out of the party for the smoke break. And we know it's the gospel that brings us back in, and the party is still going on, and you welcome us. But Father, I pray that you would do some heart work among us now as we sing and set our sights and affections on you, that you would have freedom to move about the cabin this week, to speak your words of healing to each of our hearts in specific ways we need to hear it, so that we can walk with a heart like yours, and so that we can fluidly and easily enter in all the time to your rule and your reign breaking out in the parties among us and around us. Father, we invite you to do it. We're thankful that you want to do it, and so we're just joining you and asking you to do the thing that you want to do, so we know you're going to do it. We receive it with humble and thankful hearts. And now to you we sing, and we lift these songs in the name of Jesus.